Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. We open our show today with breaking international news that is having a big impact right here in San Diego and East County. The U.S. military has launched airstrikes in Iraq against ISIS, the terrorist group now calling itself the Islamic State. President Obama approved the actions and also launched airdrops of humanitarian aid to 40,000 people who were stranded on a mountain in the Kurdish province in Iraq with no food or water. 40 children who were members of the Yazidi religious minority have died there because of lack of food or water. The first strikes targeted artillery used by ISIS to attack Kurdish forces that are guarding a U.S. embassy in Erbil. But the president made clear that the mission, which is authorized to extend beyond Erbil, has a broader goal: to protect religious minorities who've been forced to flee their homes, convert to Islam, or be slaughtered by ISIS terrorists. The president, in a speech Thursday night, said, "When we have the unique abilities to help avert a massacre, then I think the United States of America cannot turn a blind eye." But he made clear that he will not authorize ground forces. "American combat troops will not be returning to fight in Iraq," said the president, "because there is no American military solution to the larger crisis in Iraq. The only lasting solution," he said, "is reconciliation among Iraqi communities and stronger Iraqi security forces." San Diego's East County is home to about 40,000 Iraqi Chaldean Christians, a group that has been persecuted and forced to flee their homes amid the ISIS invasion. Locally, the president's announcement drew praise from Mark Rabo, CEO of the Neighborhood Market Association and a national spokesman for Iraq's Christians. Rabo drafted legislation introduced by Congressman Juan Vargas of San Diego and that was passed unanimously last week by the House, calling for humanitarian aid and protection of persecuted minorities in Iraq. Rabo said that work has resulted in a, quote, crescendo of tears, smiles, and joy throughout the entire Iraqi Christian community. He adds, "We wholeheartedly stand by the Obama administration in its push for targeted airstrikes and a humanitarian mission in Iraq." He calls the president's actions, quote, "a step in the right direction for our global community," adding, "We commend President Obama for referring to this massacre as a targeted genocide." Arabo and a coalition he assembled met with Ben Rhodes, the assistant to President Obama and Deputy National Security Advisor for Strategic Communications, just one day before passage of the resolution. And on August 7th, coalition members were back at the White House meeting with National Security Advisor Susan Rice. They're also working with resettlement agencies like Catholic Relief Services and the State Department to assure that humanitarian aid in Iraq is routed correctly and to rally the United Nations. There are people in northern Iraq who don't have water, food, or diapers and other supplies, which is why Arabo says his team is searching now for humanitarian agencies to help on the ground in northern Iraq. In a statement sent to media, Arabo concludes, "Our work helped lead to this executive action, but our work has only just begun. Now we start the long road to recovery for the plight of these minorities in Iraq, and we work toward ensuring a crisis like this never occurs again." Chaldeans are not the only groups speaking out on Iraq. Local Kurdish Americans have announced a rally on Monday to call for Kurdish independence. The Kurds have faced persecution in the past under Saddam Hussein, and now again at the hands of ISIS. The rally will be held in front of the federal building at 880 Front Street in downtown San Diego from 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock on Monday. In East County, multiple Chaldean groups have been rallying and organizing, calling for protection for the persecuted minorities. Last weekend, our reporter Janice Russell was at the scene of a rally organized by the East County Iraqi Chaldean Chamber of Commerce, where the coalition clearly was broadening to include moderate Muslim voices as well as Christians across our region. Now, though organized locally, this was a worldwide protest that included rallies in cities around the globe.
This is Janice Russell. I'm here at Prescott Promenade in El Cajon, where the worldwide protest over the violence against Christians in Iraq and Syria is taking place. This event was organized by the Chaldean American Chamber of Commerce in San Diego and East County. The first speaker is Sarmad Abuna, who's from Iran and is interested in going into the medical and political fields, and he studied at UC San Diego.
Good evening, everyone. I'm a proud citizen of the United States and a native of Iraq. The sectarian violence has torn my country, the place where I was born. It's affected each and every one of those people, especially the most vulnerable Iraqi Christians and other religious minorities. Today marks the 10-year anniversary of the first wave of church bombings in Baghdad and Mosul. Many churches were bombed. In the years that followed, tens of worshippers were killed in these attacks, and hundreds were injured. Unfortunately, no real action was taken to stop these barbarian attacks. In the last 10 years, a large number of Christian children were kidnapped and their families were forced to pay ransoms to retrieve their children. Some of those families had to sell their homes to pay the ransom. Many Christian families were forced to leave their homes in Baghdad and other cities, and their properties were confiscated by the Islamic group. All these atrocities have taken place, and no government action was taken. It's extremely difficult for Americans or anyone living in the civilized world to envision and imagine these cruel acts that don't belong to this era. This is an understandable sentiment because ISIL is implementing laws and orders that are 14 centuries old. Today, we should not only condemn these atrocities, but also demand that the international community make a serious and genuine effort to end the suffering of our people.
The second speaker is Fadi Alisa, a Muslim who came with two other Muslims, and they attend a mosque in St. T.
As-salamu ala al-akhwa al-masihiyin fi kulli makam, wal-akhwa khususan fi al-Iraq. Nahnu wa iyaakum fi khandaq wahid, vud haula al-asad. Nahnu ka muslimin fi Qur'anin al-Majid, yaqul walqad karramna bani Adam, umum al-bashar, bani Adam, wa hamalnahu fi al-barr wal-bahar. الإسلام نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه يقول الإنسان أشرف من الكعبة، الكعبة المشرف عند المسلمين، الإنسان أشرف منها. الإسلام من أحيا نفسا، فهذا الإسلام، نعرف الإسلام هكذا.
The third speaker is Claudine Barron from Iran. She's from the Safo Center USA and was also representing the Assyrian National Broadcast.
Hello everyone, I'm Claudine, and I was born and raised in Iran. We are here today to speak about those people who don't have a voice, for those that are being killed, persecuted. I was expecting to see more people here. Another genocide is happening, and we are busy fighting one another. If they're killing us in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, unite. How many Chaldeans live in El Cajon? 60,000? Okay. Are we about like 150 people here? Less than that. About 6,000 people showed up in a rally in Sydney. This is United States of America. Those are people with hopes, with dreams. They want to live. And the basic human rights are being taken from them. And we're here busy fighting about our accents. We are here for another reason too. For the memory of our martyrs. The ones who got killed. And they didn't want to convert. They didn't accept that.
Last to speak is Ben Colasso, president of the Chaldean American Chamber of Commerce.
Good evening. When was the last time we had a gathering of Chaldeans, Assyrians, and Syriacs together? Does it really have to be where we are talking about a genocide to get everybody here together? Think about that for a second. But now we're all here together talking about something really dire and evil. We have to address this. We have to talk about it. East County houses 60,000 Chaldeans, Assyrians, and Syriacs. Yet we can't come together on basic issues. I want us all to be defined not by the differences between us, but by the similarities. The oneness, the common language. Turn a new page. And that page is togetherness for the cause of humanity. We stand together. We don't wait for a moment like this to say we're going to all stand together and Chaldeans, Assyrians, and Syriacs holding hands in times of genocide and persecution. No, we're going to do it in times of happiness, in times of need. And I want to also point out something too. We put up chairs here for our speakers, but a good friend of mine, Johnny Jacob, said something brilliantly. He said, let's not sit down. This is not a moment of relaxation. This is a moment of boldness, and we want to share that suffering. And don't forget these words, that today marks a new day.
This is Janice Russell, and you just heard a few speakers from the worldwide protest in El Cajon over the violence against Christians in Iraq and Syria.
This is Leon Thompson with East County Magazine's Agricultural Report. San Diego County's Board of Supervisors unanimously voted to direct staff to prepare a program that will promote agriculture. Ultimately, this could open up nearly one-third of the unincorporated county to wineries. The proposed agricultural promotion program would also streamline county planning and land use regulations to expand and promote other agricultural pursuits. That includes microbreweries, agritourism, cheesemaking, beekeeping, and on-site retail horticultural sales. The county's 2012 crop report stated that the total value of agriculture in the county in 2012 was $1.75 billion. However, county officials said Wednesday that agriculture in San Diego County faces numerous challenges, including the high price of land and water. The proposed promotion program could give agriculture a boost in this most important segment of our regional economy. Officials from the County Planning and Development Services said that program includes the proposal to open up nearly 650,000 acres of land, about 27% of all unincorporated land, to wineries. That land, which is now zoned for general rural use, currently allows landowners to grow wine grapes, but does not allow wineries. Interest in wineries and grape growing has exploded in the past few years. The 2012 crop report says that the number of acres devoted to growing wine grapes in San Diego County jumped by 478% from 2011 to 2012. Planning Development Services officials say that it could take up to 30 months to create the comprehensive program and bring it back to the Board of Directors for their consideration.
Water conservation just became mandatory for Helix Water District customers. On Thursday, the district's board voted to put drought level 2 restrictions into effect due to the statewide drought. Since February, the district had been in drought level 1, which called for numerous voluntary actions to eliminate water waste, but it hasn't been enough, so drought level 2 makes restrictions mandatory. Residents and businesses are required to take the following conservation steps. 1. Limit residential and commercial landscape irrigation to 3 days a week, though you can choose which days. This does not apply to commercial growers or nurseries. 2. Limit lawn watering and landscape irrigation using fixed spray sprinklers to no more than 10 minutes per watering station per day. Irrigation runtimes should be adjusted to avoid runoff. This provision does not apply to landscape irrigation systems that use water-efficient devices, such as weather-based controllers, drip micro-irrigation systems, stream roto-sprinklers, and rotating nozzles. 3. Eliminate runoff from irrigation systems. 4. Turn off ornamental fountains and other water features unless they recirculate the water. And 5. When hand-watering landscaped areas, include trees and shrubs located on residential and commercial properties. Use a bucket, handheld hose with positive shutoff nozzle, or low-volume non-spray irrigation. Limit hand watering to 3 days a week, though you can choose which day. And finally, repair all leaks within 72 hours. The district's move to drought level 2 followed a similar designation by the San Diego County Water Authority in late July. Most of the region's residents are aware of the statewide drought and have already taken some steps to reduce their water use, according to public opinion polling by the county's water wholesaler. Research also showed that many people think they can do more to save water in light of the drought. Helix Water District General Manager Carlos Lugo said Helix's customers are already doing a great job at becoming efficient with their use of water, so the shift to mandatory water reduction should not be a difficult transition for most of them. But, he adds, we are hoping they can be creative and find a few more ways to save in case this drought stretches into 2015. Governor Jerry Brown declared a drought-related state of emergency on January 17th, and he's asked for voluntary water conservation statewide after 2 consecutive dry years and the start of a third. May 1st data from the Department of Water Resources showed a snowpack
Water content for the Northern Sierra was just 7% of the historical average, and the State Water Project is projected to meet only 5% of requested deliveries in 2014. For more information on the drought, you can visit whenindrought.org or hwd.com for Helix Water District. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
The Chaparral Institute, a San Diego-based environmental organization, is disputing news reports claiming that a year after the Rim Fire scorched Yosemite National Park, everything there is dead. A press release issued by the Chaparral Institute states that a CBS affiliate in Sacramento recycled a sensationalized Associated Press news article from a year ago and ran it again this week with a new headline that reads, "One Year Later, Scientists Find Yosemite Rim Fire Left Behind a Sierra Moonscape." Now, the U.S. Forest Service, scientists, and environmental groups have called for the article to be withdrawn immediately. Robert Guy, a research associate for the California Chaparral Institute, says Yosemite's burned area is not a moonscape and that, in fact, the post-fire environment within the Rim Fire area is exploding with new life. Oh, and he sent us photos to document that. He adds, "Conifer seedlings, shrubs, wildflowers, and a wonderful variety of birds and insects can be found nearly everywhere." The photos do show new growth in the burned areas. John Heil, press officer for the U.S. Forest Service, Pacific Southwest Region, reportedly asked CBS to remove the story from its website. He said the quotes from a Forest Service researcher were taken out of context, misquoted, or misrepresented by the Associated Press over a year ago. Now, as for the importance of the post-fire environment, ecologist Chad Hansen from the John Muir Project writes, "The post-fire habitat created by patches of high-intensity fire known as snag forest habitat is one of the most ecologically important of all forest habitat types, and it supports levels of native biodiversity and wildlife abundance equal to or greater than unburned old-growth forest. While wildfires can convert native shrublands such as chaparral to weedlands if the fires occur too often, fire in forests can also help restore habitat that many species depend on." After the Chaparral Institute issued its scorching press release, CBS did change the title of the article and corrected the date. However, the news outlet's tactic has left the public questioning CBS's intentions, especially when a decision is about to be made on a controversial so-called salvage logging proposal for the Rim Fire area. Reporting for East County Magazine's Green Scene Report on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Have you ever wondered just how effective those online petitions can be? Do they really make a difference? In the case of the food industry, it turns out, online petitions are turning out to be highly effective tools for even a single customer of a company to spark a massive consumer uprising. And that's getting the attention of multinational food giants that only a few years ago might have responded with a form letter when a dissatisfied customer complained. It's also prodding government regulatory agencies to take action. Politico reports that it all started when a Texas mom and school lunch blogger launched a petition that persuaded the U.S. Department of Agriculture to ban lean, finely textured beef, better known as pink slime, from school lunches. Since then, social media has enabled online consumers to rapidly spread the word about new petitions. Efforts that have persuaded Starbucks to stop using crushed bugs to make red dye for its strawberry frappuccino and Kraft to eliminate chemical dyes from kids' macaroni and cheese. Similarly, Chick-fil-A agreed to start buying chickens raised without antibiotics by 2019, and Chipotle was persuaded to list ingredients containing genetically modified ingredients on its website. Several food makers are now eliminating palm oil or sourcing palm oil that's sustainably grown to help save rainforests and endangered orangutans. Consumers can now easily find more petitions to sign. For instance, Care 2 now has an entire section on the top consumer petitions, so concerned readers can dash off signatures to let their elected officials or regulatory officials know their views on multiple consumer issues. Food companies aren't the only corporations changing their ways. Bank of America dropped debit card fees thanks to this new wave of consumers fighting back with legions of newfound online supporters. Plus, companies now know that consumer petitions tend to attract media coverage, and no company wants to be making the news nationally for offering products that are harmful or offensive to consumers across the United States. Reporting for East County Magazine, this is Leon Thompson.
As wildfires engulf much of Northern California and the West, the White House has issued a video detailing the link between increasing and worsening wildfires and climate change. You can view the video at whitehouse.gov, and here is the audio from it.
While no single wildfire can be said to have been caused by climate change has been making the fire season in the United States longer and, on average, more intense. I'm John Holdren, President Obama's science advisor, here to talk about climate change and wildfires, a topic that's on the mind of many who are grappling with tragic losses from the recent spate of uncontrolled fires in the northwestern United States and Canada. The influence of climate change on the wildfire regime comes not just from the higher summer temperatures and reduced summer soil moisture that go with global warming. Climate change is also bringing us more dead trees, kindling in effect, killed by a combination of heat stress, water stress, and attacks by pests and pathogens that multiply faster in a warmer world. The National Climate Assessment, released in May, tells us, consistent with earlier studies, that longer, hotter, drier summers are projected to continue to increase the frequency and the intensity of large wildfires in the United States. In the western United States, the average annual area burned by large wildfires has increased several fold in recent decades. The evidence is strong that climate change is responsible, at least in part, for this increase. And the West is not the only U.S. region affected by wildfire. Today, the southeastern United States leads the nation in number of wildfires, averaging 45,000 fires per year, and this number continues to increase. And nationwide, the eight worst years on record in terms of area burned have all occurred since the year 2000. Wildfires, of course, are dangerous to human life and health, costly in terms of property loss, and generally harmful to ecosystems. They destroy valuable timber and wildlife, as well as homes and other built infrastructure. They promote soil erosion. They increase the risk from floods and landslides. And the damage can extend far beyond the location of the fire itself, through the impact of the smoke plume on air quality far downwind, and the destruction of downstream fisheries choked with silt eroded from slopes denuded by fire. In short, wildfires accentuated by climate change are putting communities, lives, health, jobs, and valuable natural resources at risk. I encourage you to learn more about the science of this issue by visiting whitehouse.gov/climatechange.
It's back to school time, and check center locations around San Diego County will be giving away free backpacks and school supplies to children who stop by on Saturday, August 9th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. This includes an East County location at 1090 East Main Street, Suite 103 in El Cajon. Melissa Coronel with Check Center says that last year the company gave out over 1,800 backpacks, and this year they're aiming to give away more than 3,200 backpacks to local kids, including 250 at the El Cajon location. The company partners up with local police and fire departments and other agencies to provide free goods and services, including refreshments and prize drawings, in addition to the free school supplies. Again, that's this Saturday, and you can find more locations by visiting Check Center's page on Facebook. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Finding Rover is a new facial recognition software program used for finding lost dogs. It was used for the first time anywhere here in San Diego, and it has helped reunite the first lost pet with its owners. It worked for Roxy, a Shiba Inu dog who turned up in the county animal shelter in Benita. The owner's daughter loaded up a photo of her missing dog wearing sunglasses. Not the ideal picture for a facial recognition software program, but it was enough for a caring worker at the animal shelter to recognize the dog, who had run off after being startled by thunder. Roxy is now home with her owners. To learn how to register your dog, visit www.findingrover.com. Next up, the county announces it is working on a Finding Kitty application, which it hopes to have ready in September to help reunite lost cats with their owners too. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Beretta.
This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Ariel Johansson, bringing you the most exciting festivals, events, and attractions each week.
This is Miriam Raftery.
And this is Leon Thompson with this week's Destination East County.
From fishing at night to fun times with firefighters, we have some unique outings featured in this week's Destination East County, along with some rollicking musical performances. Plus, we have previews of next week's top events, from a Cajun concert to an event atop Mount Helix for lovers of art, craft beer, and wine.
The Chambers of East County are jointly hosting Politics in Paradise on Thursday, August 7th from 5 until 8:30 p.m. Elected officials at the federal, state, and local level will participate in a lively panel discussion and take questions and answers from the audience. Guests can also sample fare from local restaurants, wineries, and breweries in East County. Politics in Paradise will be held at the Water Conservation Garden on the campus of Cuyamaca College. For tickets and information, visit East County Chamber of Commerce website at eastcountychamber.org.
If you're hooked on fishing, Santee Lakes hosts its last night fishing evening of the season on August 7th from 5 p.m. to 11 p.m., you're advised to bring a lantern, but leave your radio at home. They're not allowed to disturb the silence or the fish. No state fishing license is required, just a permit from the general store and some worms as bait. For details, you can visit SanteeLakes.com.
Charlie and Calico Ridge will be performing a free country and pop music concert Friday, August 8th from 6 until 8 p.m. at Grossmont Center in La Mesa. Concerts are held here every Friday in the Macy's Courtyard through the end of August. For a full schedule of concerts and other events, see grossmontcenter.com.
The rock and roll band Back to the Garden performs at El Cajon's Dinner and a Concert this Friday night, August 8th. The event takes place from 6 to 8 o'clock p.m. in Prescott Promenade Park on Main Street. For details, you can see downtownelcajon.com.
The Deerhorn Valley Community Association invites you to a barbecue fundraiser for firefighters on Saturday, August 9th from 1 to 5 p.m. The event also honors firefighters and emergency responders who gave their lives on 9/11. All proceeds benefit Firefighter Aid, a local nonprofit that cares for local firefighters and their families in times of need. The event will be at Talamark Gardens and includes a silent auction, pulled pork, beans, slaw, beer, and wine from local vintners. Wear casual or Western attire. For tickets, call 619-468-9336.
Now for a preview of coming attractions. The La Mesa Chamber of Commerce is hosting a Summer Bash Business Expo on August 13th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. You're invited to mix and mingle with local business owners at the La Mesa Community Center. For details and tickets, you can visit the La Mesa Chamber's website at lamesachamber.net.
Lemon Grove's community concert series will feature the Bayou Brothers playing Cajun Blues on Thursday, August 14th. The free musical event takes place at Berry Street Park from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. For a full schedule of concerts, visit the City of Lemon Grove's website at lemongrove.ca.gov and click on events.
On Friday, August 16th, the USA Volleyball Cup will be held at Viejas Arena on the campus of San Diego State University. The U.S. will square off against Iran starting at 7 o'clock p.m. For tickets and more information, you can visit Ticketmaster.com or check with the Viejas Arena.
Mission Trails Regional Park invites you to a twilight walk to learn about changes that occur as the sun goes down. The walk will be held on Saturday, August 16th from 7:30 to 9 p.m. The walk begins at the Kumeyaay Lake Campground parking lot and lasts about an hour and a half. For more information, visit mtrp.org.
Cal Fire and Smokey the Bear will be visiting Lake Morena with their fire truck on Saturday, August 16th at 2 p.m. They will educate the public on fire safety, what to do when you're lost, and what not to do when building a campfire from scratch. Emergency vehicles will be on display, flashing their lights and shooting water out of the fire hose. You can bring a bathing suit or some attire you would not mind getting wet so the kids can play in the water. For details on this and other county park events, check out San Diego County Parks on Facebook.
The 7th annual Heart of Mount Helix will be held on Saturday, August 16th from 5:30 p.m. until 10 p.m. up in the park atop Mount Helix. The event features live music on two stages, visual artists at work, restaurant tastings, auction, a signature cocktail, craft beer, wine, and sunset views. For information on tickets and reservations, visit mounthelixpark.org.
Flamenco, jazz, classical, and popular music will be performed in a free guitar concert by noted musician Fred Benedetti on Saturday, August 17th at 3 o'clock in the Mission Trails Regional Park Visitor Center's Theater. This acclaimed entertainer plays with several local bands, and he heads up the guitar studies program at Grossmont College, also serving as chair of the guitar program at San Diego State University. He has toured in the U.S., Europe, North America, and Asia, performed locally with the San Diego Symphony and San Diego Opera, plus he has shared the stage with such musical luminaries as opera star Luciano Pavarotti and jazz great Dave Brubeck. For a complete list of concerts or more information, visit mtrp.org as in missiontrailsregionalpark.org.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events sections online at eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor Destination East County's show on KNSJ, you can contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County!
Need a car, boat, or other vehicle? Bidding for the county's latest online public vehicle auction is now open, so you can check out what's available before these steals on wheels are gone. Hundreds of surplus vehicles, including automobiles and heavy equipment, as well as surplus government property from the county and other agencies, are going on the auction block, with many bids starting at $100. Vehicles range from a Honda Civic and Toyota Prius hybrid to explorers and expeditions for traversing those backcountry roads. There are also pickup trucks and cargo vans, a utility quad hauler, a tractor mower, boat trailer, and even a boat. In fact, there are even used school buses and ambulances on the auction block, and a lot more. If you'd like to check out the vehicles in person or go kick some tires, they'll be on display Monday morning, August 11th from 8 o'clock to noon at 369 Main Street in Ramona. The bidding ends at noon the same day, Monday, August 11th, and you can register to bid for the online auction. For more information, an auction catalog, and photos of many of these items up for auction, you can visit TNT Public Auction online.
This is Ed Barreno with the Health Report. Two squirrels trapped at an empty outdoor school on Palomar Mountain have tested positive for plague, prompting San Diego County officials to remind people to take simple steps to protect themselves when camping and hiking. County Environmental Health Director Liz Pozzebon cautions, quote, "When you're enjoying the outdoors, just remember, don't feed or play with squirrels, don't play near squirrel burrows or set up your tents around them, and report dead squirrels to camp rangers." The squirrels were trapped on property at Camp Palomar Outdoor School, which was undergoing summer maintenance and not scheduled to be used by campers until August 25th. Environmental health vector control crews will dust squirrel burrows on the property to kill fleas that can transmit plague from squirrels and rodents to people. Environmental health vector control crews will dust squirrel burrows on the property to kill fleas that can transmit plague from squirrels and rodents to people. They will also conduct additional trapping and monitoring and post signs to warn visitors to protect themselves. It is common to find plague in the region, and the county's vector control program routinely monitors flea populations at campgrounds and takes action to reduce flea numbers when the disease is found. Plague is a bacterial disease that mainly affects wild rodents, but it can be spread to people when fleas feed on the blood of a sick animal and then bite humans, or when people such as hunters handle infected animals. People who contract the plague can become very sick and even die unless they are treated quickly with antibiotics. Symptoms include a sudden onset of fever, chills, and tender swollen lymph nodes. County officials said people who visit or stay in rural mountain areas should look for plague warning signs and always take simple precautions to ensure they don't come into contact with plague-carrying fleas. 1. Avoid contact with ground squirrels, chipmunks, and other wild animals. 2. Do not feed, touch, or handle wild animals. Do not rest, camp, or sleep near animal burrows in the ground. 3. Do not touch sick or dead animals. 4. Protect your pets. Keep them on a leash, use flea control, or best of all, just leave them at home. 5. Contact your doctor immediately if you become sick within a week of visiting an area known to have plague. For more information about plague surveillance, call the County Vector Control Program at 858-694-2888 or visit the Vector Control Program website.
This is Miriam Raftery with news about two astronomical happenings that will occur this weekend. A supermoon and a meteor shower will both light up the sky this Sunday night. The supermoon is caused by the Earth's orbit bringing us closer to the moon, and it will be most visible in the early evening Sunday, appearing larger and brighter than usual. The annual Perseid meteor shower will be at its most impressive from August 10th, that Sunday, through the 13th, producing up to 100 shooting stars an hour. The meteor shower is actually caused by debris from the tail of a comet. No need for a telescope, since both of these astronomical phenomenons will be visible with the naked eye. Oh, and surfers, heads up, the full moon will also bring extra high and low tides.
This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation.
This is Ed Barena with East County Magazine on KNSJ with some grilling safety tips. July, August, and right into Labor Day, we use our barbecue grills more than any other months. Fire Chief Sam DiGiovanna, East County Magazine's in-house fire chief and columnist, says that firefighters respond to many structure and wild land fires that involve barbecues around this time of year. He adds, quote, "We also treat many victims for injuries related to barbecues. Barbecue safety means sending the right smoke signal, and that signal is safety," unquote. While gas grills contribute to a higher number of home fires than their charcoal counterparts, all grills pose a risk for fires and burns. Grills should be placed well away from the home and decks, far from under the eaves or overhanging branches and vegetation. Other grilling safety tips from the National Fire Protection Association are as follows. 1. Propane and charcoal grills should only be used outdoors. 2. Keep children and pets at least 3 feet away from the grilling area. 3. Keep your grill clean by removing grease or fat buildup from the grills and in trays below the grill. 4. Never leave your grill unattended. Always make sure your gas grill lid is open before igniting it. 5. If you smell gas while cooking, immediately get away from the grill and call the fire department. Do not move the grill. If the flame goes out, turn the grill and gas off and wait at least 15 minutes before relighting it. 6. When using a starter fluid, use only charcoal starter fluid. Never add any other flammable liquids to the fire. Keep charcoal fluid out of the reach of children and away from heat sources. When you are finished grilling, let the coals completely cool before disposing of them in a metal container. And finally, use common sense and grill safely.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
Campo will soon have a new family medical center. A groundbreaking ceremony was held on July 26th for Mountain Health and Community Services' new Campo Health Center. Located at Buckman Springs Road and Highway 94, the state-of-the-art facility will offer primary care, dentistry, radiology, optometry, behavioral health, and a pharmacy. July 26th marked a milestone event for the citizens of Campo, California, with the groundbreaking ceremony of the new Mountain Health and Community Services Incorporated Family Medical Center located at 1033 Buckman Springs Road. Hannah Elmazian, Dental Care Coordinator for Mountain Health, says the new center will change a lot of lives for the better, since many people in rural areas don't have access to transportation. The Alpine Sun reports, this includes elderly and disabled backcountry residents who may be physically unable to drive long distances to access health care or can't afford the gas. Mountain Health and Community Services Incorporated is a nonprofit that has served the rural border area in San Diego's southeastern region for the past 3 decades. Its mission is to bring local health and social services to rural residents. Once completed, the new comprehensive medical center will be a major step towards fulfilling that goal. This is Leon Thompson reporting for East County Magazine.
Next up, East County Magazine brings you a rerun of a reel-to-reel segment that we recorded a few months ago, and we're playing some oldies but goodies here today as we wrap up our show.
Welcome to Reel to Reel. Every show, we will bring you authentic, independent artists. I'm your host, Dean Bruce, and I sit down every show with a diverse group of musicians, not only digging deep into the grit of the music-making process, but also bringing to you the real stories of these real artists. This is Reel to Reel. Good evening, everyone. I'm your host, Dean Bruce. We're in studio tonight with High Tide. Say hello, everyone.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
So we got Blaze, Brian, Ed, Kale, Dave, Garrett, huge band in the studio, one of the biggest ones we've ever had. We're going to get right into it. Why don't you give me an idea of how you guys got started?
Originally, we jammed through some party, house party kind of influences where, you know, a guy's playing guitar, a guy's playing drums, and it's kind of randomly jammed together, and High Tide's been a fluid entity since the beginning, and we've come around to where we feel like we're poised to make some moves in the scene and stuff like that. We got an SDMA nomination just recently for our last album, so we're nice. Feeling good about that. And we're
the SDMAs are coming up right around the corner, aren't they?
Yeah, next month.
Talk to me about the process that you go through making the music. You know, let's talk about Back for More, for example. How did you guys start that off? Do you do lyrics first and then the music? Do you do the music first, lyrics? And kind of walk me through that process.
It changes from track to track. High Tide's a very collaborative project. It always has been. So we've all kind of brought our influences in. It's very much my influence on that song. And so it's got this upbeat, major, quick guitar riff kind of thing happening. And it's really for my lady, you know, I love her. Shout out to my lady, Mavi.
You talked about Sublime. Obviously, musical influence. What other kind of bands are out there that you really are digging on that you kind of feel like you either draw from or want to be like?
Well, there's a lot of contemporary acts out there that are doing reggae, and they're doing it really well and doing it big, like Slightly Stupid, Revolution, bands like that, Iration. These are bands that really came from a lot of Hawaii vibes and with the California mix, too. And we're strictly San Diego, so we like to throw our San Diego spin on everything.
Yeah, on that Revolution note, last year I actually toured with them. I was their backup horn player because their horn player was missing a lot of shows. So I filled in for about 3 months full-time playing sax, and while I was on the road with those guys, I learned a lot about the business aspect of it, which I kind of brought back to the band here. So that band is very focused, and
they're great guys, too.
Yeah, they're great guys. Awesome people, positive vibes, but very focused.
So you talk about bringing the business aspect into it. And it's a good point, because making music is one thing. Anybody can get together and throw some people together and produce a song. It may not be a good song, but they can produce the song. But there is a business aspect to it. What do you think that you guys were missing?
Well, I think a big part of it was prior to going on the road with Evolution, all of our stuff was just recorded amongst friends in, you know, decent studios, good studios, but we didn't have a full-time producer backing us. And when I came back from the road, we had the opportunity to work with Ian Young,
who, of Tribal Seeds.
Of Tribal Seeds, yeah, who's an up-and-coming producer, I mean, a huge producer in this scene right now.
Roots musician, I believe.
Yes, Roots Musician Records. .com. Check that out. They've got a lot of up-and-comers on there. Hyrie, she's nominated for SDMA. Gonzo from Beyond Eyesight records with them. You know, we're going to work continuously with Ian Young for sure. He's a great guy. You know, everybody's just really positive. It's such a positive scene to play reggae. We're really blessed.
Do you think that there's a point at which you stop being artists and you just are going through the motions? You know, you have an A&R guy, you've got a manager, you've got producers, you become a little sheltered, and the vibe, the positiveness of your message starts to dwindle because you're just trying to put music out there and get a paycheck?
Yeah, that can happen for sure. I mean, we're trying not to go that route. We're trying to keep the roots in there. That's why, you know, reggae has roots, and it's really important as reggae artists to not forget your roots. And that's why when I met Eric from Revolution, I was really stoked to see that he's really down-to-earth guy, you know. And it's good to see that the people we look up to are really good people, and it just helps us to want to be good people as well and really push the music forward, you know, and ride the wave. You know, we're high tide. We want to ride that vibe, you know, every day.
Let's take a few minutes and listen to Eye for an Eye by High Tide.
Yeah.
We're in studio with High Tide. If I'm looking for you out in the internet, where can I go to find you guys?
Well, if you want to hear us on internet radio, we're on Pandora. We're on Spotify. Just look for High Tide Reggae. We're all over YouTube. Our website is always getting updated. Brian always rocking the website stuff. He's really good with that stuff. HighTideReggae.com. Check us out online and also Facebook.com/SDHighTide. And once again, HighTideReggae.com.
We're going to close out the show tonight with Misled Souls, and you guys are going to rock the house. I appreciate you guys being in tonight, taking the time, you know, spending a few minutes to sit down and talk with me. We've had a great time tonight in studio. High Tide, they definitely rock in the reggae scene with some positive music, positive vibes. And we're going to close it down with Misled Souls.
company of mine. No, 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 no. It's dead soul. Now keep the company.
Recorded on location at San Diego Performance Academy with help of studio producer Dave Bramley, executive producer Jerry Dean, engineer Levi Wong. If you would like to appear on the show, check us out at www.reeltorealsessions.com, facebook.com/reeltorealsessions, or you can email us at info@reeltorealsessions.com. Title music provided by Look Up Here.
And next up, East County Magazine brings you a rerun of a reel-to-reel segment that we recorded a few months ago, and we're playing some oldies but goodies here today as we wrap up our show.